Welcome to episode 340 of WordPress Weekly for Wednesday, December 5th, 2018. I'm your host, Jeff Chandler, joined by Mr. John James Jacoby. How are you, sir?
Good. Great. Happy to be here. How are you?
I'm doing great. Although I have this feeling in my stomach. I'm very nervous.
Why would you be nervous today?
Well, I don't, you know.
WordCamp US FOMO? Is that what is making you nervous?
Quite possibly, or it might be the guest we have on our show today and the things we have to talk about, which there are many. And speaking of our guest, I'm very happy to be joined by Mr. Matt Mulloway, the co-founder and creator of the WordPress Project.
Hello, hello, everybody.
Ooh, yeah. So how are you feeling, Matt? Because I'm feeling I did not expect you to be on the show today. So this is quite the surprise for me.
I looked up. It was Wednesday. So thank you so much for accommodating me. Yeah, I'm feeling pretty good. I've been really into cord organizers lately, and I actually just got a shipment of new cord organizers. So different ones that can you can kind of wrap cords around them. So I'm pretty excited about that.
I think you were the first Gridit that I saw, way back in the day, the first one, I think you had the first Gridit that I had ever seen.
I don't use those anymore.
No, me either. Yeah.
But it's a cool idea.
Yeah.
So there are many things to talk about. In fact, I believe tomorrow, I believe it's day one or possibly Friday is day one of WordCamp US. Second year in a row now that it's been in Nashville, Tennessee. And if that wasn't exciting enough, if all goes well, which it seems to be, and I'll ask you if it's ready, but quite possibly WordPress 5.0 could be released tomorrow. Is it ready?
Sorry, something just started. I think your voice is coming through a different thing. Wait, let me stop.
Oh, you must be watching the public stream to watch the chat. You got to mute there.
All right, I'll mute it. Now. Sorry about that.
There you go.
WordPress 5.0 should be ready to go. You know, all the switches are being pushed and all the tests are running well and everything seems to be on track. But, you know, it is software, so we don't make any promises. And if anything in the software pops up that says it's not, shouldn't be released, we will put that on hold.
So I guess this is a good place to start. So a lot of people have been wondering, when is this thing going to ship? And there's been dates that have been published and for the most part, it's going to ship when it's ready. And something that the release lead knows, and I don't think many other people know, is what is your criteria for WordPress 5.0 being ready to ship?
Yeah, that is a tough one because software is an art and a science. You know, so there are certainly objective things we look at, like what are the bugs that are currently known? What is the velocity of new things coming in? How many people are currently testing it and using it, which is also a good indicator that are we getting good coverage? Are we able to push it out to the SaaS services like WordPress.com to get further testing of things? And then I would say the art is a little bit of trying to incorporate things like holidays, dates, conferences, feedbacks, travel mm-hmm. schedules, and it kind of a sense for what's next as well. So one of the key things, you know, for this audience, I think would appreciate is the importance of 5.01,
mm-hmm.
you know, and we're kind of unable to work on that until we get 5.0 out. And so this code has been frozen for a bit now. So there's, you know, non-blocking, so non-urgent, low severity fixes that we want to get in hands of users as soon as possible. But as long as 5.0 is frozen, and until it ships, it's hard to get those out there.
So one of the things that has been coming up in conversations, even throughout Gutenberg's development, is that things are moving so fast. Things are moving so fast that everything's progressing way too quickly. And just for a lot of people, it seems like the release date was just boom, out of the blue. Here we go. You know, it's ready. We're going to ship it. And it's been pushed back a few times, but has it really, you know, in your estimation, has been moving really fast? Because you've been working on this and the team's been working on this for about 2 years now.
About 2 years. But I can completely empathize with people who feel like things are moving quickly, or that perhaps the pace has increased, because that is an explicit goal of the Gutenberg process and of future WordPress development, is to increase our speed of iteration. I think the 3 times a year we were doing in the past, we were both shipping things that were too incremental, and it was too slow. So we were doing things that weren't really moving the needle for users slowly. Now, of course, we did a ton of great work over that time period, so I don't want to downplay any of the past releases, but I think there's an opportunity and certainly a demand, as we've seen from the adoption of Gutenberg already and other things that do Gutenberg-like things in the WordPress ecosystem, for what it's going to provide. And most importantly, getting this out there provides a framework for future things to be built on top of it, which is actually where I get far more excited. Like, I'm more excited about phase two of Gutenberg than even phase one.
Yeah, I think and John and I have talked about this, and I believe we've talked to Gary about this, that Gutenberg, we knew that, you know, this is a brand new editor. It's sort of a, you know, it's your white whale, so to speak, as he said on stage. And it's a complete revamp of one of the parts of WordPress that probably everybody at one point or another interfaces with. That's how they create content. That's how they manipulate it. So this is a big deal. No matter how much you want WordPress 5.0 to be an anti-climatic release, it's a big deal. It's a big release. It's very important.
I guess I should clarify that. It should be anti-climatic for the people, for the over 1.2 million, I think now, WordPress.org sites that have opted into Gutenberg or Classic Editor.
Oh, okay.
So that makes a lot more sense. Anti-climatic for. Yeah. Of course, if they're seeing Gutenberg for the first time, hopefully that's exciting in a positive way. And but we have had a sort of unprecedented number of people who essentially have the 5.0 experience before 5.0 is released. And that liminal state, that kind of in between, is, I think, also difficult to deal with for developers or for everyone.
I mean, that has largely been, I think, the feedback or the major point of anxiety for businesses and plugin developers and theme developers and everything else, is that middle ground of having, you know, one foot in the door and wishing you were all the way in the door without knowing when that door is actually going to be closed. And so having a date and knowing when that door closes, I think, is moving forward and gives everyone an outlet or a reason to breathe a sigh of relief, hopefully, and you know, move on to whatever is waiting for them in the next room, I guess, if you will. But
if there's one thing I've noticed my entire career, it's the longer in between releases, the harder the release feels.
Oh, that's a fact.
And jeez, I can vouch for that, and I'm not even leading the thing.
I thought this was going to be the longest release ever, but as I posted to the comments there, it turns out it will be, if we ship tomorrow, will be 1 day shorter than the longest time between releases ever, which was previously the time between 2.0 and 2.1, which we said we'd never do again. And technically, we're not doing it again, but we're awfully darn close. That was 387 days, and this will be 386 days.
Wow, that's crazy. That's wild.
And by the way, it seems to me like you've been trimming that beard.
I have been, yeah. So I think I mentioned that at WordCamp Europe. It just got a little out of hand. Turns out it was a bad sort of thing to commit to. And as Gutenberg became clear it was going to ship in 2017, I was like, oh, all right. This might be a little more than anyone knew what they were signing up for.
Yeah, I mean, the answer was obvious to me. Why does this seem like Gutenberg is being pushed out? Where he's got to shave that beard. I mean, what other reason could there be?
Although I will say that Mark Urain, who was the designer who led the slides last year and is helping me with State of the Word slides this year, whose picture of beard we used, it still seems to be going strong and has added many inches, it looks like, to his impressive facial feature.
I did actually nick myself shaving the other day and thought, Matt hasn't done that in a while. It just hasn't happened. It's not like a problem. 20,
actually, but.
but as I was alluding to before, we knew that the first phase of Gutenberg was going to be tough, that there's going to be hurdles to get over. But I think something you have to be pleased with is that if you look at Elliot Condon from Advanced Custom Fields, Yoast Evok, and some of these other major third-party players in the WordPress ecosystem is that while the first phase is pretty tough and they're trying to hurry up and build in compatibility for their users and get the first phase to a point where, you know, it's pretty smooth for their users, all of them seem to be on board with the long-term vision of Gutenberg and actually can see the promise of it being the foundation of bringing WordPress into the next 14 years into the future. I think you got to be pretty pleased with that.
I mean, it's hard to be a developer or someone who deals with WordPress users every day and not be excited about what the building blocks, that the kind of foundation that we can now work on. And, you know, blocks are the new paradigm. They replace plugins, they replace themes, they replace widgets, they replace shortcodes, they replace menus, they replace, like, not today, but eventually. And that is just going to be so much simpler for everyone to figure out and use. It'll be so much more consistent across things, like the old thing, why can I put a widget in a sidebar but not in a post? Mm-hmm. All that goes away. And then finally, you know, as people redo their interfaces to create these blocks, we're getting some pretty significant upgrades. Like, we've all gotten better at design since these things were first done. And kind of the functionality allowed by being built in React encourages people to create these really responsive interfaces that kind of zooming in and zooming out. If that can become cross-platform as well, that is beyond my wildest dreams of Gutenberg success. Mm-hmm. Cross-platform meaning like other CMSs can use these blocks.
Oh, and I'm sure you've been pretty excited about what you've seen with Gutenberg in Drupal, of all things, and sort of the aspect, the idea of platform agnostic blocks, yeah, because essentially they're just JavaScript.
You know, and I'm not too shy about the fact that Drupal is my other favorite CMS in the world. I really love Dries. I really love their community. And they do really, really interesting things. So it's definitely one of the ones I follow. And as I said in the birthday message to Dries, I think I'm Drupal user ID number 5,000 something. So pretty early on.
So something I saw today, and this was brought up to me, I was reading this before the episode, and this was written by Siobhan McCune about 4 years ago, and she talks about the degrees of openness, essentially communication in the WordPress community. And this was written about 4 years ago, and she kind of highlights sort of discussions and community aspects of, she focused on the UI redesigns of WordPress and what worked and what didn't work and closed channels of communication versus open channels of communication. And now we, you know, at this point we're dealing with reports and people commenting on reports and how some of the ways of trying to get this balance right in the WordPress project to make sure everybody has a voice, that nobody feels disenfranchised. And I was sort of reading through this and kind of thinking about how Gutenberg has been developed in the past 2 years. And to your credit, you know, something we've seen as of late is the accessibility team has sort of felt disenfranchised from the project, that they weren't able to really keep up with the development process of Gutenberg. You want to allude to that? I know you recently came out and admitted that, you know, that's an area that you guys are going to try to work on for phase 2 and 3.
Yeah, and I completely agree that we need accessibility part of the core discussions, you know, from day one. I think it's the effectiveness of having a separate team with separate meetings and everything. It didn't work out great this cycle, and we're definitely going to work and do better next time. I think it's also public now. Did y'all see the WP Campus announcement?
Yes.
Yeah. So, Automattic's going to fill in all the remaining funding needed for whatever.
Oh, I did not see that. Okay.
Excellent.
Oh, that's cool. I didn't know that was how that was. I was going to ask about that.
Breaking news. Do we have one of those sound bites? Breaking news.
Breaking news. Looks like it came out 30 seconds ago. So all
awesome.
So
y'all
that's great.
But yeah, you know, because I saw that fundraising was kind of inching along. And so I also, Rachel Cherry had signed up for one of my office hours. So we got to discuss it briefly, although like many of the office hours, that was one of the conversations that I wish could have mm-hmm. went much longer than the kind of 15 minutes we had allotted. And I just kind of gave it kind of thought. Automattic's also doing its own audit, which will have slightly different parameters. But there's no reason we can't have to get more mm-hmm. information and have that be the punch list so we can get into Gutenberg and 5.0 minor updates. And, you know, if there's bigger things that we need to tackle, really start that work now for getting 5.1.
Well, just when you think Automatic couldn't get even more evil, they fulfill the fundraising goal for an accessibility audit. Unbelievable.
You know, I said, way nicer than you were last week.
That's all tongue-in-cheek. We're all friends here. You actually offered one-on-one sessions, sort of these office hour sessions, and I are they all completed now? And if so, what are some of the main issues, topics of discussions that people brought up, some of their concerns?
It was super fascinating. I actually did do a kind of wrap-up comment on it, where I posted some of my notes from it. But I had kind of half a page of notes from each person I spoke to. And it was interesting to learn about some different use cases for people doing it. A lot of people who signed up had been using WordPress for a really long time. Probably spoke to at least 5 people who've been using it for more than 10 years. Some going back to the B2 days. So that was pretty cool. Most of all, I want to continue them because I kind of assume that people know they can reach out to me. Mm-hmm. Because my contact info is there. I'm on Twitter. I'm on the Slack. And people do reach out to me sometimes randomly. And sometimes with totally random things that aren't really relevant to WordPress. So I consider myself pretty contactable. But it turns out there was a huge swath of people who do have things to talk about related to WordPress that didn't feel like they were able to. And so by creating kind of explicit space for it, it's encouraging people to get in touch. And that discussion will only improve the project. It'll improve my knowledge and understanding of what's going on in the WordPress world, which then helps me make better decisions when I need to. And also was a lot of fun. So, you know, many people I had met at previous WordCamps, I'm going back all the way to the first WordCamp San Francisco. But these conversations, I think, should really be ongoing. And it was very refreshing as well after. It was kind of therapy for me as well after, you know, Twitter's been a little heated lately. Some of the comment sections on Tavern and on the P2 have been like, there's some rough comments there. Mm-hmm. You know, I saw someone today who compared Gutenberg to, I think, putting Native Americans in reservations or it's something like so beyond the pale. I was like, wow, this is really challenging. No. And these things, you know, I do read it all, and it does affect me. So it was really great to be able to connect with some people one-on-one and have a real conversation where it was two-way. I could really understand their point of view. And then it's, you know, helping inform future things that are going to happen in WordPress.
For the sake of your sanity, do not visit the WP Tamarin comment moderation area. It's a very, very dangerous place.
If based on the stuff you're letting through, I don't want to know what you're moderating.
Yeah, right. I am pretty thankful to just be a co-host and not have any access to any of that back there.
So thank you for that.
It's the least I can do. So as the project lead, I know the last WordCamp State of the Word, you said you were going to put the lead hat on and you were going to see this all the way through, which it looks like is going to happen based on the release scheduled tomorrow. As a project lead, what is it that you did to lead the project? We have Matthias Ventura, we had Tammy Lister, we had Gary Pendergast, we had people that were sort of under you in this chain of command that was doing a lot of work and developing and triaging tickets and things of that matter. What was your role? How did you lead the Gutenberg project? What did you do?
All the terrible stuff was me. All the good stuff was those other folks. I think that where I find myself being most effective these days is trying to get the right people around the table, getting them the resources and support that they need to accomplish what it is that we have a shared passion about. And, then being kind of like a council and talking through the decisions that are being made and where necessary, if needed, helping, you know, make a decision myself. Kind of the product of what leaders do, especially as organizations get larger. I don't write too much code. I'm not designing the screens. I am listening a lot and making decisions. And that's where I feel like I was able to add a lot of value in this release cycle.
John, any thoughts?
Oh, no, I mean, that's, I agree 100%. That is the natural progression of, and healthy progression, I might add, of like any organization or group of people. I mean, it was that way at Automatic. It would be that way. It's that way with Pippin at Sandhills. It's that way in .org. It's that way with the BBs. It helps, I think, for there to be a person to blame, but also a person to point to and to trust to be around when in good times and bad. You know, if someone jumps ship or quits instantly or rage quits, or if that was even an option, then that doesn't look good for a project or for a release cycle or anything else. And you know, Matt's stuck with WordPress, so you know, Matt's not going anywhere. I think I've been pretty open about that on the show and stuff too, that I think that more people, myself included, are comforted by knowing that Matt is at the helm to make those decisions. Because if there was no one, it we would have no leadership, and I don't know that it feels real natural to just have groups of people floating around making whatever decisions they want. You need someone to say, to set the course and to enforce that course. Of course.
Let me take a moment to also brag on the release leads. We've never had this many release leads for 5.0. And all the people involved there have really been bringing in, you know, by having more than we've ever had, we were both able to have more focus given to areas like accessibility. We've never had an accessibility release lead. And just a more diverse group representing kind of every way you slice it, whether that's gender or even companies represented. So there is a lot that has gone into 5.0, and I'm really, really proud and impressed with the team.
So something you mentioned, I think it was in an Apply Filters podcast. It might have been last year, back when Pippin and Brad were still doing the show. You had mentioned something about getting people to row in the same direction. And if we look at the people in the leadership positions and the design positions, they're all automaticians, people who are under your employment. You're not only the project lead, but you're also their boss. Was it strategic in putting those people in those positions so that you had people who were rowing the same direction you wanted to go in versus, you know, having volunteers in the project who potentially could, you know, stall the project because they disagree or they don't want to row in the same direction?
Mm-hmm. I think the key concept is disagree and commit. And I guess it gets a double entendre with the meaning of commit in open source software. But, you know, we had a lot of, like I said, diverse viewpoints represented on the 5.0 releases. And I think anyone who knows Omar or Daniel or Anthony or Jeff Ball or anyone, like, these are people with strong opinions. And one of the nice things about putting that group together is we essentially had very civil versions of some of the discussions that you've seen in the public spheres that have been a little less civil. But that kind of like safe space allows these discussions to really dig in and I think create a much better outcome by having some really rigorous debates on different directions, different choices we can make from things like even, you know, suggestions like just including Gutenberg as a plugin or bundling the classic editor or all the sort of different permutations of things we could be doing in 5.0. Pretty much all of them were brought up and considered and got a fair shake. So that, but the, in spite of disagreeing, we would commit to whatever decision was gone on. And it wasn't even always the directions that I personally wanted. So it wasn't just like it's always doing what I say at all. It's getting that kind of like trying to get to the best possible answer, even if it's not the one you came up with. And then regardless of the direction, giving it your full support to make it successful. I had a lot of respect for Yoast.
Yeah.
I didn't love that. They said, you know, they don't believe in the release or irresponsible or whatever. But the fact that they believe that, well, it's really Yoast believes that. Yoast the guy, not Yoast the company. Although I'm sure some of his colleagues agree as well. But still is going to try to make it as successful for our shared users. It's a really powerful concept, and I respect that. I both respect their disagreement, and I was doubly respect that for our shared users, you know, all the people who are going to be upgrading to 5.0, they've done a lot of work really since the beginning and and also this week to make that a great experience, because that's ultimately who we're serving. We're serving these users, the people, users of WordPress software.
And in light of the developers for phase two and three, automaticians have been named as in the leadership roles for both phase two and three. And something of that's more of my curiosity is what role do WordPress core contributors and developers that seemingly had a large influence on the project in the old paradigm, in the old way of developing WordPress, what role or roles will they play in the future of developing WordPress?
They could play exactly the same roles as in the past. I think we do need to, we haven't really revamped any of the titles or positions or anything from, for kind of WordPress core committers or things. These are all kind of stuff that was set up more than 5-8 years ago.
Right. Yeah.
There also, I think, is a challenge for people who might be, including myself, people who might be very fluent in PHP, but aren't like quite, you know, world-class in React yet. And so as a lot of our future development moves to React, you know, that's a new skill set that people have to master, be part of it. But everything is totally open. I'd be perfectly happy. I'd love to see some of those faces around again.
I was just reading the comments here, and shout out to David Bissett. He's a great asset to the WordPress community. He says, disagree and commit works for my marriage too.
Oh, David is hilarious. He's one of my favorite Twitter accounts.
Indeed, he is for me as well.
Could he be DirtPress? Do y'all know
who
DirtPress
is? No way. I don't know. I think Sarah might know. I don't know.
I don't know.
Quite honestly, I don't want to know.
It's better that way. A tavern investigative report. One of these like New York Times Trump style 15,000 word.
Well, Sarah actually did publish an interview with DirtPress. I don't know if she she actually knows who it is or not. If anyone did, it would be her.
Yeah, I would love to see a follow up to that. What is DirtPress's take on WordPress in 2018?
I always like DirtPress's take on our post titles. They always do this rearrangement of words. It's pretty cool. So, you know, throughout the process of Gutenberg, throughout the last 2 years. We've actually seen two different forks kind of pop up of WordPress. One is called Classic Press, and the other is, refresh my memory, John.
Well, mine is a spiritual only. Mine is.
Well not yours. Really, that wasn't a segue for yours.
Okay, thank you. Not really prepared to be put on the spot about anything like that. But so which. The Classic Press, and then there was started with a C, I thought also.
Yeah, I can't think of the other one, but you know, I really appreciated Gary Pendergast's post on the idea of forks and sort of the open invitation to, you know, to sort of celebrate this idea of forking WordPress, and that if they discover or sort of this open invitation to collaboration. If there's a need or a need for it to take place, what are your thoughts on Classic Press or any other forks that have arisen out of WordPress throughout this process?
You know, if I got a tattoo, it wouldn't be a WordPress logo. It would be like the four freedoms of the GPL.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
And they're kind of long, so I'm not going to do a tattoo. But that's I believe in open source above everything. And so, you know, people exercising one of those four freedoms is, I think, a beautiful thing. And I'm particularly excited about JTrip's spiritual fork, because that is, I think, the right reason to do one, to experiment with some different sort of development approaches that are a little bit incompatible with how core works right now. We can see how it goes and possibly merge that in. To me, that's almost like a feature plugin. That's almost like... It's kind of like a feature plugin approach, but for you know, some of the core things that WordPress does, which I think is pretty exciting. I was a little more puzzled about, you know, WordPress without Gutenberg being a fork, since we are in core supporting WordPress without Gutenberg with the classic editor plugin. So people who want that experience can have that experience and also get all the benefits of like the update servers, the WordCamps, the, like everything else that kind of comes along with being a part of core.
Yeah, I agree with that. The classic press hard fork with like their own update servers, their own infrastructure, just Gutenbergless, seems like doing all of the like all of the right work to maintain your own project, because all of that is expected now. Users expect to have all of that. And because WordPress has done it so seamlessly, there is a very clear expectation for how to what users expect for updates and plugin updates, core updates, everything else. But and I think they pivoted a little bit, right? Like, it's not just about it being without Gutenberg anymore. They're like focusing on enterprise users, or they have a different audience, I think, now. I feel bad that I haven't really kept 100% totally up with it. But
the beauty is these are, it's like with software, we in open source increases the speed of evolution when it's at its best. So right. We will see whether this is an evolutionarily, this tree is a fruitful one and multiplies, right, or if it's an evolutionary dead end. Time will tell. And it's hard to run these experiments for WordPress itself. So forks are the best way to see how different approaches go.
Yep.
Just like looking at other CMSs or open source or proprietary, it's cool to see like what is the market effect of a different approach to the same exact same problems that we're trying to solve, which is allowing people to publish online.
Yep. And so many of like the values that WordPress stands for are things that would be a shame to abandon in a fork. You know, the one, I mean, the GPL you're not getting rid of, but the code being poetry and democratizing publishing, like those are important values that if someone was going to fork and try something different, that I don't think that it would pay users a whole lot of service to abandon those values and try to replace them with something else. Like those just seem like part of WordPress. And if you're going to fork it, you should inherit those values and try to change the rest, tweak the recipe a little bit, but don't replace the hammy, delicious bits with something else.
Totally.
Or as they say in GPL, don't replace the spirit. You know, the whole spirit of the GPL debate. Anyways, thanks to our audience. The other one was called Compress.
Oh, that's what it was.
Which was supposed to be an elimination of all these different things in WordPress and PHP's make 7.3 compatibility or whatever. Essentially, it sounded a little bit like what's Backpress. It sounded like they wanted to go back to a Backpress type reality, which John, I know Backpress will always have a soft spot in your heart, but for our listeners, they mentioned your fork. We didn't really get into it, but I want to be the spokesperson. It's Yum Publicious, because it's actually called Publicious. But very briefly, describe your fork and mentality for doing it.
So I guess my reason, my mentality, I think my goals that I hope to achieve with it are things that I think are really difficult for WordPress to solve. Deep underlying API kind of things that that people want for WordPress to solve that, frankly, I think would be really, really difficult or kind of on a really long timeline. And like, I mean, I'm a little impatient and I have some patches and some things in core track that I know are not really right for WordPress core. They're ideas that are architected out, thought through, and I also know that I'm not always the best lobbyist for my own ideas. And so it's hard. Somebody messaged me on Twitter or tweeted me and asked like specifically if this was so that I could zag if WordPress zigged or if we could go in a different direction. And my response to that is that it's really the opposite. My goal is to have a pen pal, if anything else, is to inherit all of the things that I love about WordPress, but then add some of the things to it that I think that I think are important. That hopefully enough people think are important to have it be worth doing, but also to see how it plays out. If I can change the way that options are stored or the way the options are cached. Right now, you can't unplug the options API real easily because it's not that flexible yet. And frankly, I don't know that it makes a whole lot of sense to focus on improving WP options in 5.0 or 1 or 2 or 3 or anything. And if that is, if there are people that see that something like the options, queries, and caching is important and is causing them problems, then maybe we can solve that a different way, in a way that doesn't require a lot of deep discussion or diving into the way that everything touches in a WordPress core. And let's just unplug it and start over and see what we end up with, and then actually decide if it's better or worse. And then we can go, okay, well, we've tried that. We've gone down that road. Maybe WordPress should do it, or maybe WordPress shouldn't. And it gives us an opportunity to kind of make everything a drop-in, everything we can kind of unplug and plug back in. I imagine like an old operator, a telephone operator with a bunch of cords and cables and plugging stuff in and unplugging it. And so WordPress has a lot of ports and a lot of things that are critical for people's success that you cannot just unplug and pull the cord out of real easily. And so if we can have a separate place where we can start unplugging some stuff and plugging some other stuff back in and see what the results are, is ideally the best win for WordPress. If a year or two or 5 years go by and we've done some research, we've built some different things in different ways, WordPress gets to inherit those if it wants to, or not. And ultimately it is my way of trying to give back in the best way that I know how, but also, eliminate some of my own personal frustration with having ideas and things that I know aren't really going to be a priority. And so it gives me an outlet myself to work on the things that I think are important, and in a way that ultimately may benefit WordPress back when on WordPress's timeline or schedule. So that's my pitch.
I'm very excited about that. I also recognize that Core has been kind of closed for business for everything except for Gutenberg for a year. So there's a lot of pent-up energy, a lot of great patches hanging out on track. One of the things I'm very excited about for 2019 is reopening that, getting some initiatives to work on some of our real core and fundamental things, including some infrastructure. Mm-hmm. And I really want to whittle down those 5,000 open issues.
Mm-hmm.
Triage, commits, prioritize, milestone outs. You know, we've got a year's worth of releases in there, you know, and I would love to do this hangout next year and say, okay, we got that down to X thousand or maybe even X hundred that are truly open.
I was thinking about that because I don't remember what the lowest ticket count was. I remember it got low for a while. I think Andy and a bunch of folks got it down to maybe less than 1,000 or less than 5,000. I don't remember what it was, but I remember thinking about that just recently. Like, there's a lot of open issues. Gutenberg too, right? Still has semi close to 1,600 open issues.
Which the number is of open issues is not an indication of software stability, John.
That is an important disclaimer. I was going to say it if you weren't going to. I agree. But it is a sign of a healthy, active project also. You have people using it, people reporting about it, and that people care. And so, you kind of have to hope to have that much to do, I think, is a good thing.
And speaking of issues, Gutenberg has been largely developed on GitHub and not Tracker, Subversion. Are you happy or satisfied with the way the development process has been on GitHub?
Some things are better, some things are worse.
Yeah, I
think
agree.
That getting kind of our house cleaned up on the track side will open my willingness to move to something else there. But I don't just want to migrate. It's kind of like if you're moving houses, right? Like, don't move all your junk.
Right.
You eliminate some junk first and then move. And then the new house can be like super shiny. But I want us to be intentional with every single issue that's open there and really triage them.
How has your involvement with GitLab been?
Really exciting. You know, I'm on the board there, and they are a very inspiring You know, they ship major releases every month, and it's very Gutenberg-like in that they are pushing out huge amounts of functionality.
Yeah.
They're also a completely transparent, open company. So they kind of run the company like an open source project, which is very, very cool. And I am really impressed at their speed of iteration. I think that's one of the most important things for us to try to keep up, is to maintain our speed of iteration, even as we go past 5.0.
Yeah, and that's something you mentioned, that you want to get WordPress to a point where it's similar to Chrome, where you're pushing out updates. Well, I get at the current rate, I think the current schedule or timeline is every 2 weeks. You want to push out like an iterative update.
Yeah, so you know, not counting security releases or anything, we think that we can continue kind of a minor updates on every 2 to 3 weeks. And of course, maybe skipping like New Year's or something like that. But that's one of the beauties, is like 5.01 already has some really good stuff in it. And I really am anxious to get that out to users, because like I said before, I want the best software in the hands of the most people as soon as possible.
And recently, Gutenberg was sort of pushed out to a lot of WordPress.com users who chose to opt in. And I know at some point the feedback mechanism, I think some of that data was going to be shared, but behind the scenes, what kind of feedback do you know of, or have you received from WordPress.com users who I think is almost a different user entirely than someone who might be using the self-installed version of WordPress? How have they been? What's their reactions to Gutenberg so far?
Yeah, pretty positive. You know, the people who don't run plugins or themes, you know, WordPress.com does support custom plugins and themes now. But for people using Calypso, they already didn't have like things modifying the editor too much. So it actually opens up a lot more customization and functionality than they previously had in the old editor. And the kind of more forceful version of the opt-out versus opt-in, I think, is coming any day now, or might have even already happened for new users. But it's been kind of, you know, similar to, I think it was Bluehost who started activating Gutenberg for all new users. And this was just a plugin. I was like, oh, great. Like, have you seen a difference in support load or things like that? And I don't know, pretty normal issues. That's, you know, particularly for new users. I think that Gutenberg is actually far more intuitive and generates no noticeable or discernible difference in support load than prior versions. For new users, there is a learning curve, but it seems to be, you know, not an interface that people have never seen before. You know, other stuff on the web looks like this. We've got the little walkthrough you go to that kind of shows you where things are. And then there's lots of, one of the things I really like about Gutenberg is there's lots of inline help. So things that as you click them or do them, there is kind of a tips to do it better or faster, like teaching you the slash trick to get new blocks, which I really love. And then the other cool underappreciated thing about Gutenberg is kind of the undo. There's really nothing. With the old WYSIWYG, there were so many ways you could back yourself in a corner and never get out. I'm reminded my parents have a picture of me where at some point as a kid, I kind of sat in like a rectangular trash can and like was folded up like a sandwich and I guess kind of stuck there. So my parents took a picture. That's how I feel using the old editor a lot. You know, and that's why savvy WordPress users, probably everyone listening to this right now, switches to CodeView all the time. We don't even think about it because we made it really easy to switch back and forth. So, you know, things as simple as putting, you know, text inside or outside a link, really, really hard on 99% of WYSIWYGs. We made it actually better prior to Gutenberg. But that was essentially Gutenberg work that we were backporting into, I think it was 4.8 or 4.9.
Hell, just making text linkable, you know, with a link, just copy and paste. Why can't every program have that? You know,
that's my favorite. Yeah.
But no, John and I, as over the past 2 years, we've used and we've been testing Gutenberg. We've been sharing our experience of Gutenberg, and we're veteran users of WordPress. And it, you know, as a veteran user, and I've been using the TinyMCE editor for 10 years now, maybe this learning curve in Gutenberg is real. And learning, for me, some of the biggest issues I've had is knowing where the UI pops up, knowing where to put the mouse. And sometimes it feels like I'm searching a card catalog to find the one option or the one thing I need to click on to accomplish a certain task. And hopefully the flows, I think in phase two, there's going to be more emphasis on user research and trying to hammer down the flows and smooth things out. But you know, I see the power and flexibility, and there are some aspects of Gutenberg that I really like. But from the actual user part of it, using it, trying to figure out the UI and stuff, that's where some of my hangups are. I don't know about you, John.
Well, yeah, I feel like you set me up here, but
I totally empathize. I mean, it's tough to catch up to 10 years of learned muscle memory. You know,
right. Yeah, there are things about Gutenberg that I do not prefer, and I think a lot of them are things that other people are really excited about, which makes it really hard to have a really opposing opinion about it, because I want to support the direction that everyone is believing in that is right and trying to go. And like, I'll use the tips for an example, since you brought it up. Like, that's the first iOS app I delete on my phone. The tips app is useless. I don't care about the tips. And so like in Gutenberg, when they pop up, I'm like, oh,
when everyone realized you could kind of do the push and move on the space.
I know. And, yeah. But like, that's just that's read the manual a little bit. I know it's a tip. I know. But, I get why people are excited about it. I get why you like the tips. But there are a lot of little things like that, since you asked, I will mention. But otherwise, other than on my own blog, or I'll chime through and walk through it, which I had a lot of fun testing the first beta. I don't want to be the naysayer, even though I probably have a reputation for a little bit of that. But
no, I'm going to say an update to that post.
I know I owe you an update to that one. I think a lot of the stuff that bugged me didn't change, though, like the drop cap and the apostrophe. Like, some stuff is still the same. So
I was pretty happy looking back at that, because someone referenced it the other day. I was like, obviously when you do that post, I'm going to the team and saying, all right, this is a punch list. Yeah. Let's get it all fixed up. Both of you have a direct line. So, you know, if there's anything, any bugs or interactions you want to highlight, please send them my way.
Well, and it's like you talk about being open, and you've always been open, at least to me. I've never felt like there was ever a reason not to just ping Matt and say, like, hey, here's something, or how are you doing? It's never been – I've never felt like there was a barrier there, but I know why people do. But at the same time, there are appropriate channels for things, and so I'll file an issue on GitHub. We'll put things in track. We'll maybe bring it up in Slack if it's a major thing, but otherwise, I'm not going to go straight to you for something. That's just doesn't seem
why
appropriate.
Are you denying me the pleasure of being able to hear and fix the issues I'm having? Why would you take that away from me?
I don't know, because you're just going to delegate it. Delegate it to Gary or someone else, anyways, right? So
that's part of what.
All right. Well, be careful what you wish for, Matt. I mean, I'm going to start DMing you stuff right now.
I would love to give more messages from you. So feel free.
So I know one of the things...
I'll say one thing about those tweaks, though.
Oh, go ahead.
And one thing I'm excited about is Gutenberg is, regardless of what you think about it, it is 10 times easier to extend than TinyMC.
That's true.
And it has a framework for it. We have hooks and filters in JavaScript, which is one of the things that made WordPress great.
Did you see that they're working on that in React? It's like a React thing, is having like actual filters and stuff in React.
It's one of the things I'm most proud of in the history of WordPress.
It's pretty cool.
Because I think it's pretty cool. And, yep. But anyway, so like, you know, someone posted on the chat channel, like, hey, I want all new links. I want all links to open in a new tab by default or something. That is pretty much easier to do now than it would have been before. And I can't wait to see all the plugins that essentially extend and tweak Gutenberg to have these little, you know, things that might make it more intuitive or make it fit. Mm-hmm. I mean, the beauty of WordPress, and one of the things that I think is beautiful about this whole discussion argument that's been happening, is you are in control. If this were any other SaaS service, Facebook, Google, whatever, even WordPress.com, you get what they update you with. And you have no recourse. With WordPress, people can update to 5.0 tomorrow. They cannot. They can use the Gutenberg plugin. They can use the Classic plugin. They mm-hmm. can run, you know, any other fork of it. They can, like, there's total control. Mm-hmm. And that goes all the way down to every individual line of code running. So that control is, I think, very, very key. I don't know if we talk about it enough, but I am going to talk about it a bit on Saturday, like how giving people that agency mm-hmm. Is part of the core freedom that WordPress provides. And I think it also helps shift the discussions. You know, people mm-hmm. are talking like they're going to be forced to do something on Thursday. No one is.
Right. You might get automatically upgraded to 501, but you don't actually have to.
Only if you're already on 5.
That's right. Exactly. You don't have to click the button to get 5.
And as we get to where we're releasing a lot, you know, ideally I said fortnightly major releases for WordPress, and those are all going out as auto updates. Like, this will become much, much smaller of a thing.
Yeah, I thought about Gutenberg, and I don't really get to play enough video games like I, you know, really enjoyed doing when I was a kid. But video games recently are really come under fire for the quality of the product that they end up shipping. Like, there's a video game, Fallout, there's a bunch of versions of it all over different platforms, and the most recent version is super buggy. And you know, they'll come after it, and they'll patch it, and they'll get at the individual things as they can, one thing at a time. But the product that they ship right out of the gate is, just you pay for it, number one. So you have an expectation of, like, somewhat, some quality there. And then you get it and you're not happy. And then Red Dead Redemption is buggy. Game-breaking glitches. Just Cause is another one. There's been multiple games. It's a game that's been around for 10, 12 years. And the most recent one that's come out, you know, it's still an $80 game. And then it's terrible. It's just buggy and it doesn't work really well. And so when you mention incremental releases, I think that's what some people think, is that you can ship a mediocre product and then play catch up afterwards. And so I don't think that that's true, but there are so many examples of that being how people leverage that functionality. And something that I miss a little bit personally is buying a video game on a cartridge that was the game that it was. There was no update to that game. That the developers really had to do the best job that they could, because what they shipped was exactly what it was going to be. And so, you know, we have the luxury, we have the gift of being able to make things better over time.
It's also really different that we're running public-facing software, running on internet servers and things. So there's even a higher level of responsibility to make sure it's secure, performance, safe.
That's my question to you then, I guess, is have you thought about some of that stuff? And then what are your thoughts on those incremental improvements? Like, do we run the risk of becoming dependent on them to fix things because we can ship repeatedly and more often and people are used to it? Or do you think 5 years from now we'll be talking about how terrible it was to have releases every week or two and we were happy to slow down? You know, what's your thoughts?
And before we even get there, I want to acknowledge Scott Kingsley Clark, who said, except for plugin and theme developers, on the nothing has to change for the 6th. And that is totally true, that when 5.0 comes out, there they'll probably have a lot more people running 5.0. But part of the hope, I don't know if this was successful, of getting so many people using Gutenberg, was that the compatibility issues would be worked out with the 700,000 plus people using Gutenberg, which is significant enough that you kind of need to get interop right. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, the earlier release date and the extra couple of weeks we've had would also give people a chance to get caught up and everything. Mm-hmm. The fast releases make you lazy. You know, I suppose that's potential, but the reality of great software management is that you can also do it where it gives you a lot more rigor. Mm-hmm. And I think the key is having different channels. So having where we can push things, like Chrome has stable, what's it, like beta, something else. Like, you can imagine WordPress channels where there's like stable, you're getting the things that are we consider very stable, maybe stable plus release candidates. Mm-hmm. So you're pitching in a little bit, but your site is probably not going to break. Betas, which means your site breaks moderately, occasionally. And then alphas or trunk, which is, you know, it's breaking on a daily basis and you're really, you know, part of the development process of it. So if you imagine those being the different channels, almost like I can imagine them almost like different speed, you know, moving sidewalks.
Right. Well, it is
on and off too.
Yeah. It's like Chrome Canary, right? Like I think we're all living Chrome Canary, right? Like we're on the bleeding edge of what's happening on a day-to-day basis with WordPress core development, Gutenberg development, plugins, themes. Like our jobs are to live in a completely different environment than what users are living in 6, 9, 12 months from now. And so it's easier for us to maybe, and because it is an open project, so anyone can come and see what we're working on or what's going on. But it's there, it may not behoove them to do so, so they don't. And so that's where walking the line between venting publicly to users who may not have any idea what you're even talking about on Twitter, guilty as charged, is, you know, we've talked about on the show before, is not always the healthiest venue or the place to put some of that stuff. So,
by the way, it's really hard to, from a marketing point of view and a user promotion point of view, to have your main big feature out in public,
yeah,
in development, right, with warts and all, you know, for
right,
2 years. That there's a reason why most companies don't do that. You know, like JTrip's right, post is the last post on his blog, and it's beta one. It's a couple of months. Yeah. It shows all these bugs. So people come across that. They say, oh, this is an important WordPress person. And they say Gutenberg doesn't work. They found all these bugs. And, you know, not looking at the timestamp, not looking at the version number. That was one of the challenges we had even with the reviews of Gutenberg. And some of those one-star reviews from the early days were totally valid.
Yeah, right.
It was, you know, the software was developing and wasn't quite there yet. That's why we didn't release it a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
But they're also out of date and don't reflect the current state of things. I know we're right out of time. So is there anything y'all wanted to end up with? Because I do have a core Slack chat to get to. I almost said IRC there.
I miss IRC.
I guess one of the last questions I have for it is, I know you had an open thread about things you've been wanting to see people build with Gutenberg. What have they built so far? And just, is there anything that really impresses you that you've seen so far that people have built on Gutenberg?
And I encourage people to check out that thread because this is where I think all the hard work, all the toughness of getting to this point for Gutenberg, you really see why it's worth it. And one of my current favorites is the shapes one. The name is escaping me, but did you see this? It allows you to basically put different shapes in the transition between blocks. So you can create some really, really cool designs with kind of triangles, curves, different things.
That's cool.
Essentially create transition between blocks, which is, it's kind of amazing. Like the sites that people are creating with it are just gorgeous. And you're like, they did that with just clicking some buttons in WordPress. There's no, you're not having to dive into code. You're not having to write a theme. You're not having to do all these sort of things that you would have to do before to get that same result. And that's going to open up a level of creativity and expression for an audience which has literally never had it. It's like people are going to get new notes on a keyboard they can play or a new voice they can sing with. And that, I really can't wait.
I really liked, was it Ria that did the paint, like having a canvas so you could just draw stuff on? That one was my favorite because you could just open it up and do whatever, you know, just draw anything in there.
And it was only, what was it, 137 lines of code?
Yeah, exactly.
Wild.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, well, so, I got to jump in this core chat, so I got to run.
Well, Dan, I want to thank you very much for coming on the show and having this open sort of specialized Q&A just for us. We really appreciate it. All the best to you, and I really look forward to watching. I won't be in Nashville, so I'm going to watch the State of the Word from the comfort of my home, but I hope to see you come out of the boot this year.
There will be no boot launches, I can promise.
Or the on-stage de-bearding.
No de-bearding. Right, I think I'm going to keep it through phase two, because that was kind of what I had in mind when I said what Gutenberg was actually.
Oh, boy. Wow. Wow. That's breaking news.
I will see y'all. It was all pleasure to chat, and let's do this all again right. for too long.
Yeah, we'll see you in Nashville.
See ya. Bye-bye.
Bye, man.
Bye-bye. And there you have it, the co-founder and developer of WordPress, Mr. Matt Mulliweg. And John, I think we covered the gamut. We covered a lot of we covered a lot of important discussions and issues that have taken place over the last 2 years, things that have been discussed in the community. And you know, something I want to emphasize from this conversation is that Matt once again emphasized the importance of accessibility in the software. And you even heard him say it, that it needs to be something that's considered, you know, at day one, at the ground level. We need to get to a point where accessibility is something that is worked on at day one. You heard him say that he listens, he reads comments, he reads. It may not seem like he's listening to you or he's responding to your feedback, but you know, I can almost guarantee that he's read your comment or he's seen your post. He's there in the discussions. And, you know, I mean, he did these open office hours. I mean, sometimes, you know, it looks like you get this notion that Matt doesn't care, that he doesn't take this, his leadership position seriously, that he's irresponsible. But when you see him come across in an interview like this, it's hard to argue those points. I mean, he does take it very seriously.
We've known Matt a long time, so it has never crossed my mind that he doesn't take it seriously. I almost think the opposite is that he has so much going on, so busy, cares so deeply about all of the parts. How is your opinion something he doesn't already know or see, you know? It's never been that he as an individual it doesn't care or is too above it or anything else. It's always been the opposite. It's why bring it up? Why tell someone something they already know, you know? Is largely been how I've felt about it, and I don't know if Matt has always been someone that I could just reach out to, and hopefully if people want to reach out to me about things with the BBs or plugins or anything else, the show, my terrible audio, my microphone problems, whatever, that they're comfortable doing that, you know. It's what makes all of this work is having open, honest communication with one another, trusting that we're not being malicious and communicating openly and clearly. So
yeah, something I want to send a shout out to all of our listeners, live viewers today. Actually, shout out to David Peralti. You should check out his show, The WP Minute, on YouTube if you haven't already. Bite-sized chunks of WordPress goodness to keep you up to date on what's going on. Jeff Galinsky is in there. Rich Taber, who has been doing a lot of awesome work with Gutenberg, he's in there. Shout out to you, and shout out to everybody else who took time out of their day to participate, listen, and watch this show live. We really do appreciate it. And if you're listening to this and you're on your way to WordCamp US, congrats. The only piece of advice I have is to practice something called the Pac-Man rule, which is if you're standing in a circle of people, make sure there's an opening in a circle, which acts as an open invitation for someone to join in. I actually did that last year when I went to WordCamp US, and it worked wonders. Mm-hmm. It was really cool. Brad Williams says that I had another great tip where if you want to meet somebody, do it as soon as you can, because WordCamp US is such a large event that if you don't act upon it when you see the person, chances are you're going to miss them. You're going to be going through the hallways. You're not going to get that chance again, and you'll be regretting it when the event ends. And John, you're going to be at WordCamp US.
That's right. Carrie and I are going to drive down on tomorrow. We're going to start driving down 6 a.m. We'll get there. We'll pick up some other Sand Hills folks. There's lots of get-togethers, gatherings, parties, things. Everyone's doing something. So I am excited to see everybody. Every year, this everything builds up to this for me because I haven't made it to WordCamp Europe yet, and I promise some year. But we're excited to go and be there. And then Carrie and I are staying a few extra days afterwards to actually enjoy Nashville instead of just dipping in and out. And I didn't keep the chat open, so I didn't see all of the folks that were chatting and watching with the live stream.
There were 150 people that were watching this live, and there were plenty of people in the chat room. It was really cool to see.
That's awesome. And so thanks for giving me a little bit of a time to talk about some of my little old things.
Scott Casey, I don't like does bringing a shout out to you, John. Scott's your fan.
Hi, buddy. I'm a fan of Scott's.
I
never got to spend enough time with Scott. It's good to see you, Scott. Peter Slutsky, too. Yes. Peter, hello. What's up?
And I also want to do a shout out to Alex Mills. You may know him as ViperBond 007 or Viper 007 Bond. One of those.
There you go.
There it is. Viper 007 Bond. He unfortunately recently published a post that says that the last round of blood work came back slightly positive for a leukemia again, so he's going to have to go back on a 28-day infusion, a specialized medication that makes him feel like absolute crap. So it's a little bit of a bummer for Alex there. But Alex, I'm rooting for you. I think I speak on behalf of the WordPress community. We're all rooting for you, and you're just going to have to kick its ass once again. So with that said, looks like WordPress 5.0 is coming out tomorrow. We can all take a deep breath, maybe, depending on who you are and how you've set up your release management strategy. And then we can get to the good stuff. We can get to everybody chiming in, reviewing Gutenberg, hammering out all the nuances, all the issues, all the edge cases, and trying to get it to be the best editor it can be. And we'll see where we are. Like Pippin said in the last episode, you know, within 6 months, we're going to see if Gutenberg is the greatest thing to ever happen to WordPress or the worst. Mm-hmm. And quite frankly, I can't wait to see what happens. And I can't wait to, you know, start reviewing plugins that show all the kind of awesome things you could do in Gutenberg that maybe weren't possible before, which we're already starting to do.
There's a lot of opportunity. We've been saying that for years since Gutenberg started, you know, 18-ish months ago. There's a lot of opportunity now with blocks.
And hopefully this reinvigorates maybe a new channel or a new sort of part of the ecosystem in WordPress where, I don't know, you got your themes, you got your plugins, but now you maybe take Gutenberg to a whole new level that maybe we can't even imagine yet.
And it will happen. It's super exciting times.
Indeed, indeed. So until next week, we'll have a WordCamp US wrap-up show or review show on next Wednesday, and I'll see if I can't get another person or two attendee that was in attendance. It'd be cool. I have a little bit of a mini round table on WordCamp US.
That would be fun.
Definitely we'll have some things to talk about regarding the state of the word, I bet.
And yes, I'm sure we will.
And if you are not attending WordCamp US, you can register on the WordCampUS.com website for a free live stream ticket, so you can watch it from home on a mobile device or at a watch party. So if you're not able to attend, you could still watch it for free. And the stream is a very high quality. It's good stuff. With that said, that's going to wrap it up for today's show. Everybody, you can find show notes for this episode and every other episode on wptavern.com. You can follow me on Twitter, which I've actually been on Twitter roll lately. You know,
I saw that.
You can follow me, JEFFR0 and John. Follow Are you a Twitter quarter yet?
Nah, I didn't know that that was a phrase, and now that I've heard it, I don't think I cannot use it like every day. I am not. I need to just delete it from my phone, I think. Yeah. Just get rid of the app entirely is what I did with Facebook. That felt pretty good. No, not a Twitter quitter yet. Working on it. Follow me at on GitHub at JJJ and my blog, jjj.blog. And
which, by the way, you owe Matt an update to your post, so you better get
it. I do owe Matt an update. And then publicious.org is where eventually there will be some life, hopefully. There's just a theme and a site there, but that's where some of the updates for that are going to go.
It's Publicious. I love it. See, I got your slogan already set for you. All right. So everybody, have a safe trip, safe travels to WordCamp US, and we'll talk to you again next Wednesday afternoon. Say bye, John.
Bye, John. Bye, everybody.